Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
My name is Heath, lead pastor here at Reach. I've been on a vacation the last 2 weeks. Got out of the path of the storm before it came, the hurricane. But happy to be back today to be here with you guys. And we are starting a three-week series this week called One, the Church United. And over the next 3 weeks, you'll see how much we believe of that. And maybe if you've been a part of Reach, we did these pre-COVID for a while. Every summer, we would rotate with a couple of churches locally. If you've never seen that before, it may be the oddest sounding thing that you can imagine. I grew up in small town church, and I couldn't imagine a pastor from another church coming in and preaching in our pulpit on a Sunday morning. It just seemed odd. But it's one of the things that hopefully, as you've seen over the years that we pray for churches on Sunday morning, we do believe that we are not the end-all, be-all for what God wants to do in this city, that we are just a part of what God's plan is for this city, and that takes other churches doing their part. And so hopefully you'll get to see that we believe in the work of the church and not just the work of our church. Today you get to hear from me. And I try never to say when I'm not going to be here, because sometimes you hear that and you'll be like, pastor's not here, I'm not coming. Well, we're taking attendance the next 2 weeks by name, so I will know who's, I'm just kidding, we won't, but they do record everything, and if you wear your name tag, I'll be looking for you. And over the next 2 weeks, you'll get to hear from two of my closest friends and two pastors that serve in Brunswick County here talk about this topic. And so over the next two weeks, you'll get to hear from Chris Vernon, pastor of Crosswinds, that's literally like 5 miles down the road from us, and then Lucas Granger, pastor of Coastal Church, that is currently meeting in Supply's version of this, another senior center, part of this network of senior centers. They're meeting currently there. But they're also in the middle of a building phase where they'll be moving into the movie theater in Shalote. They bought a movie theater that closed down because of flooding. They've completely gutted it. And I'm super, like, it's 40,000 square feet. Like, the first time I went down there, I was like, man, I want to move to Shalote just for this building. But you'll get to hear from them, and I encourage you to come prepared, because I believe there's something that God does when his people get unified behind one goal, which that one goal and purpose is that the gospel would be heard and known in the churches in our community. And the beauty of this is you'll get to hear from other people. And I say this every time we've done this series. If you fall in love with one of these guys and you're like, that's where I belong, I will give you a hug and say, great. We will miss you, but like, I would never bring someone in here that I didn't value what they do as a ministry. And it's always sad. I'll go preach at one of them, and a couple weeks later, somebody will show up. I'm like, come on. Because you know I got to tell my friend, be like, hey, so-and-so is here. But I decided, and we all picked our topic talking about this idea of let us be one. And so I decided the one thing that binds us together completely is the Word of God. And so my thing today that I want to talk about, and a shameless plug, basically everything that you will hear today should hopefully draw you into a obedience to being in the Word of God. Not to shame you, not to ridicule you if you are not, but to encourage you that our path to unity comes in this one book that we believe. And as we know it and live it, we will be in unity, because if those other churches are also knowing and believing it, we'll be unified behind the one purpose. Now, there will be things that we as different churches will elevate above the others that are what we would consider non-essentials. But the things that are essentials, that's where we have unity in what we're doing here. So, like, shameless plug, like, everything that I'm going to share with you today in the Word, hopefully, is to encourage you to make your time in the Word important. Because if your philosophy in a lot of, I would say, American Christian culture is, a lot of our philosophy is come here and listen to someone else tell you their opinion of what they think about the Bible, which hopefully my opinion lines up to what God is saying, but the truth is you will not know unless you also get into the Word and know it. And so our encouragement isn't just that you trust me to give you everything that you need in this, because truthfully, I cannot feed you enough to help you live through the week spiritually. You would no more go to a buffet this afternoon and pig out, which sounds pretty good. I did spend 8 days on a cruise, and I'm just telling you, it is like glut. I mean, there was a self-serve machine on the deck. I held out the first day because I'd been so good for so long. I'm not. And then after that, it was at least two a day. And that was the minimum. You would just walk near it and be like, there's not a line. See, the Bible is the one thing that tells us how we can know God, His purposes, His plans for not only the church, but for us individually. So my question for you today is, how important is the Word of God to you? Does that importance show itself in the time spent in it? And I know this is going to feel like you're going back to school and I'm asking you to do homework every day. And I am. But homework in school prepares you for what you're going to do hopefully later in college and hopefully later in your career. What you study in this sets you up for what you're going to do for eternity, which is worship and love one God who showed His love for you in His Son coming and dying for you so that we could know Him. And every bit of the book that we read from beginning to end is pointing to Jesus. And that pointing to Jesus isn't just to like, oh man, look what's happened, but it's to build our comfort and pleasure in knowing that we have a God that's settling all things, and He loves us so much that He's working these things out. I saw this image, and almost used it, but you can Google it. It's the connections. I think there's like 63,278 and it's just a picture, and it shows all the books of the Bible, and it shows the connections from one book to the other. We look at it as one book, but it's really lots of books that are connected together with one purpose, and they aren't just individually there for no other purpose. They're all connected to each other, and they're written over thousands of years, which is even more important because then you see that some of these things written thousands of years ago were pointing to things that happened. Prophetic words, I mean, just talking about Jesus, they were pointing to these things that would happen, and Jesus fulfilled these things. And it fills us not with, like, should we trust this? But like, man, look at this thing that is connected to it. And I thought about, like, how can I talk about the Word? And I had ideas of, like, man, I'm going to talk about how trustworthy it is and how you can get to know it and how we can know God truthfully because how we can trust it. And I really settled down to this reality. I'm going to use the words of Jesus and Paul and other New Testament writers to talk about them, how important it was and what it does for us. So before we get into the Word, I want to pray. Father, this message could be used to manipulate people just to do a task. And Lord, I just bind the work of the enemy that would put a weight on people and a shame and a guilt on people for what they haven't done or where they aren't reading. But Lord, I pray that you would inspire a hunger to know you truthfully, to follow you by knowing you through your word. And so, Lord, as we read your word, I pray that it would convict us to moving towards you, and that you would bind the work of the enemy that would love to condemn us for it. And so, Lord, we want to know you. Lord, we want to trust your word. And Lord, we trust that your word leads us to life. And your word has things to say to us about how we live our life right now. And Lord, would you open our ears and our hearts to hear it with truth and sincerity. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to start with the one verse that our title comes from. If you didn't recognize the opening video sequence, it is out of John 17, and this is what they call the high priestly prayer. It's one of the last teaching segments that Jesus did, and over the last couple of months, I've taught out of a couple of those sections, 14 through 17, but 17 is where he basically prays. This is the last few times that he's with his disciples, able to share truth with them. And then he prays for them, and not just for them. And one thing, every time I preach this section, I talk about the reality that he was praying for us in these moments. So I'm going to read in chapter 17, starting in verse 20. This is just part of the prayer. It says, I do not ask for these only, just for his disciples. He said, I'm not just asking for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And when you get into their word, reading what we call the New Testament, we are stepping into the testimony of these guys, that they may be one, as just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And here's part of the truth that we need to hear when we talk about unity in churches. Part of the way the world sees us is how unified we are behind one purpose. We're not just, this is about us, this is about our kingdom, this is about building. And I know that we've talked about here recently, and a lot of you are aware that we're trying to move towards a process of us actually building a building. And a lot of times it feels like, man, this is just about reach. But I just want to tell you that the unity that God is looking for is that we would be one in him as he was in his son, which is, could you imagine us stop looking at other churches as competition, as other churches? And it's hard. Like if you're on social media, it's real easy to get discouraged, even as a pastor, to be looking through other people like, look at those lights that they didn't have to set up. Look at that 40,000 square foot building that they're going to get to move into. Look at these, and I hear his chair, the chairs they're going to have. It's like in an amp. I mean, it's great. This is Lucas. It's too far, though, for you really to be part of that. I'm kidding. If you want to make the drive, you go for it. 22, it says, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. This isn't just like, hey, glad we know each other and we're on the same team. This is a oneness that we don't experience without understanding fully what the word is telling us, because this is what it's saying. It says, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me, even as you love me. So part of the oneness that the world sees through the church is an understanding of who God is, because they get to see Jesus by our unity. See, his heart is that we would be one people under one God, and the one way that we do that is through his word. Because if we set up, and it's a high likelihood that it can happen, because it happened in the times of Jesus, the people that rejected Jesus wanted their tradition, the things that they did, more than they wanted the coming Savior, because they missed him, because he didn't do the things that they had done, that they had esteemed higher than his word. And we need to be careful that we don't set golden calves, if you know what I'm talking about, up about things that we do even here on Sunday morning. Like right now, we play a few songs, we have announcements, I preach the word, we play one more song. There is no, like, this isn't the holy grail of how things should be. Meaning, like, if God wants to do something different in our service, like, we got to be okay, then be like, no, we can't do two songs at the beginning, or we can't do four. We got to be very careful that we don't even make these things the only way that it is. See, His Word brings us together. I think this is a real important. I'm going to jump around a lot. I'm going in Matthew 4 now. We're going to be in 2 Peter and be in Hebrews, and then we're going to land this plane. So Matthew 4, so Jesus starts His ministry. He begins it. He's been on this earth for 30 years, really in obscurity. No one really knows how or what He's been doing during these 30 years. He comes and gets baptized by His cousin, John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit descends on him, and he begins his ministry. And you know how he begins his ministry? He begins his ministry by 40 days of fasting. Anybody feeling that? Like, that's me today. I'm starting today. I should have started right after I got off the cruise boat. 40 days. He didn't jump right in like, we're going to plant the church and start building his team. He spent 40 days out in the desert, which is this beautiful picture, because the people of God originally, when God rescued them out of Egypt and took them into the desert, they failed there. They were tested in the desert, and they failed miserably. And what you're going to get to see about Jesus is Jesus did all the things that the others before Him failed to do. So He goes to the desert, fast for 40 days. Is anybody in here fasted more than like 24 hours, 48 hours? Until you get into that zone, like, you can get really angry. Anybody? Like, you've seen those commercials with, I think it's the Snickers or whatever, where they're like, and then they eat the Snickers and they're better. Like, it's, you know, you're not in your best mood when you're hungry. I have a friend of mine that, you know, he was like, you just got to be careful, like, when you try to diet, because, like, it's not good for my kids. And so Jesus has fasted for 40 days. And at a weak moment from Him, because remember, He's not just part of the Trinity, He's also suffering in a human body that's feeling and experiencing all the things that you would experience for not eating for 40 days. And then Satan comes to tempt Him. Satan comes to challenge Him. And I'm only going to read one. He actually does three different things and promises Jesus to make shortcuts and show Himself and to do these things. And the key understanding here is that Jesus only does what He sees the Father doing. He only says what He hears the Father saying. And this is how we should view the Bible. We should be not tempted to be like, okay, because He could have done any of the things that Satan tempted Him to do. It was within His power to do. His first one, which is turning a stone into bread. You're hungry. If you could just turn whatever, like, I'm hungry and I want this to be a steak and chair, steak, good, eat. You know, He could have, but that was not the thing that God had called Him to do. So pick this up in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 1. And then Jesus, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. I love when there's obvious. Like, yes, He was hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, if You are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And He answered him. So He tells him, like, just speak to the rock, because Jesus has the power. We see later on in His ministry that He turned a couple of fish and a couple of loaves, and He fed thousands of people. He had the capacity to do this. And Satan was saying, show yourself. If You are the Son of God, prove yourself. And one thing that we need to understand is God is not asking you to prove yourself for people's benefit. I think a lot of times, if we tried as hard to please God as we do please the appearance of other people, we would be wholly different people. Because sometimes we're like, okay, someone's going to watch. I mean, have you ever been driving down the road and you're, you know, like, doing whatever, maybe not driving great, and you see somebody maybe you know, you're like, hey. You're tending into it, and you're like, oh, I'm driving straight down the road. I'm not playing on my phone. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Sometimes we're so interested in what other people think about us that we provide them an experience of us that really isn't true. And so Jesus was being asked by Satan, prove yourself if you are, because he was who he says he was, but he didn't need to prove himself to Satan through this. And what did Jesus do? And I believe wholeheartedly that the reason why Jesus says what he says is because you don't have the power that he has. He could have like, Satan, boom. I mean, he could have done whatever. He could have been like, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen The Matrix, but like he could have closed Satan's mouth. Just like, where's your lips? How are you going to say something without a mouth? He could have done anything that he wanted to do. But the only thing he did is what we have the power and capacity to do, which is to quote the truth to him. And so he says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Like, this is what he's doing. He's telling Satan that our power doesn't just come from bread. It's not just this thing. And this is a direct quote from Deuteronomy 8. For 40 years in the desert, God tested his people and they failed. And he was trying to test them to see, will they trust his word? Because he gave them all these commands. He gave them all these things that if you do these things, I'll be with you. There's nothing that'll stop you. The promised land will be yours. There's nothing he wanted. It took them 40 years to get into the place that he had promised them that they could have had at year one if they would have walked in that faith. 40 years they woke up every morning with manna on the ground, food provided by God so that they would know it would should have been in their DNA, God will provide. And so he's quoting this out of Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 3. It says, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. See, Jesus didn't just reinvent anything. He just spoke the truth. This is why we have to read. This is why we have to be in the Bible, because you will be tempted by things in our world. Every time you turn on the TV, you're tempted to believe a lie that has been presented to you. Really, most of that lie, will this make me happy? Because we're watching all these things. This will make me happy, this stuff or this thing or this relationship. And we need to understand that these things aren't going to satisfy us. See, if Jesus used the words of his Father to overcome Satan, then how important should it be for us to use and know the Word of God? Like, if this was true, here's a question for you. If this was true for you, what would change if you believed it? Like, what would change in, like, I think we would be people that would be ravenous about being in the Word because we know that we're going to be challenged by something and it's coming our way. If you're married or if you have children, let me just declare this. You better know the Word because you're going to be challenged, you're going to be questioned. You're going to go, what do I do? And you have to know it so that in you, you can be like, this is the truth. When you expect from your wife or your children things that they cannot provide for you, you need to know that it is only from the Lord. Here's another one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power is giving us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need to know about God is in this book that we call the Bible, and it leads us to a place that we can have life and walk in godliness. And that is through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. All things, every situation the Bible has the answer to. Like, it's not going to say, okay, you get challenged by this from this person and your boss and in this scenario, but he will talk through us how we should handle these things. Psalms 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. Your word. For those that don't know, Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is littered with the importance of the word of God. I encourage you, if you want a homework, if you're like, I like homework, I miss school, I'm ready to go back. If you want a little piece of homework, I encourage you, open up Psalms 119 and just read through it. It is nugget after nugget of how we use the word to walk through this life. Through the knowledge of his promises. Where do we get the knowledge of his promises? In the Bible. Partakers of the divine nature. I did a little study on this, just to, you know, what does that mean? Does it mean that we become divine and holy, that we become like gods? No, it just simply put, when we are saved, we receive a new nature by which we do not perish with the world. It changes us internally. As we get into the Word and we know God and the Holy Spirit is living in us, we become partakers of the divine, of what God is doing in and around us, and we get to escape corruption, not only in answer or wisdom, but also in a changed desire. As we get to know God and live in this relationship with Him, He changes us from the inside out. Here's another one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Living and active at a spiritual level, the Word of God affects us. It changes us. Discerning our thoughts and intention, we get to read the Bible and say, that's me. Moment when you're reading it, and you really get to see the situation and what the Bible does for us, where we love to hide, the Bible will expose things that we're hiding. The Word helps expose the hidden sin in our lives, the places where we lie to ourselves, the places where we think this is okay. As we're reading faithfully through the Bible, we'll get to see ourselves in there going, oh, this is probably something that I don't need to do in my life. I think sometimes some of the reasons that we don't get in the Word or we avoid it is because we don't want to change. We don't want to open this and be like, man, I know that if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus and I declare that I am His, then I'm called to deny myself and to follow Him. Another thing that you better have full acceptance to if you're going to decide to get married or have children. Because there's a lot of dying to yourself when you have other people that are counting on you. Look, that's the only negative about vacation. Because vacation kind of lies to you. Kind of tells you that this is all about you. And that you get to rest and do whatever. And then you realize that you have children that want to do things. And my children are grown for the most part. Our youngest is 15. Then I have a 20-year-old and a 22-year-old. So it's not like, you know, they had a lot of free time, but one of the things going into this trip, I told my wife, I was like, you know, I just want to be able and willing to say yes when they want to do something. And let me just tell you, if you tell your wife something that you're going to do, you better do it. There was one night, and I was asleep between 8:30 and 9:30 almost every night. And my wife was fine, like, we were great, going to bed, that's good. But there was one night, Allie, our youngest, was playing cards with Jody, and I was just fiddling with my phone, wasting time, because it's vacation. And we paid for internet, so you could do that, which is really costly, which is hilarious. And so they're playing this game, and I wasn't really paying attention, but I could just hear that Jody didn't understand the game, and she was very confused by it, and they played it for like 20 minutes. And then they finished. Jody's like, I've had my game. And Allie was like, do you want to play? And I was like, no. I was like, if mom cannot figure out this game, there's no way I can. And it's already like approaching my bedtime, and I'm not sure that's going to happen. And so I said no. And Jody was like, I thought you were going to say yes, Dad. And I was like, So you better learn to die to yourself, because if you declare things to people of what you're supposed to be doing, they're going to call you to it. Here's my last verse for today. Well, I have a few more in my closing, but the last one that we're going to talk through. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So why? So that the man or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So if you choose not to be in the Word of God, the truth is you won't be complete and equipped for what God has for you. Complete and equipped, that's what He does in us. He changes where we were before and shepherds our heart to be what He has declared us to be. See, the Bible equips us for what God has called us to do. So if we just decide this is what we think we're going to do without trusting these things, and I should have said this at the beginning of this, if we don't look at the Word, and there's great resources that you can deep dive in how we can trust the Word of God. But the truth is, if we look at this anything other than it being the Word of God, we get to determine whether we like it or not. And there was some of our founding fathers wanted to do the same thing, and they cut things out. Like, I don't like this about the Bible. They didn't like the supernatural. They didn't like this. And so they would cut and paste the things that they didn't want and took it out and made it. And we don't get to do that, because all of it, including the Old Testament, including the New Testament, is breathed out by God for us so that we can be complete and equipped for everything that He's going to call us to. So here's my application for us today. When the people in the church take serious the Word of God, there is unity. And so if I want us to change our community, and this is why we preach the Word of God, this is why we don't just typically say one verse and have lots of opinions about that verse. We try to teach through sections of Scripture because we want you to see that we value what the Scripture says to us in context, which is really important. We are one people with one purpose, to know God and to make Him known. That's what we're here for. Like, we're hoping that we build a building, but our purpose is not to build a building. Our purpose is to preach the gospel and to love people and let them see Jesus in us. And the only way that happens is we know the Word, walk in the Word, and love people like Jesus loved people. See, at Reach, we say it like this. We exist to help others live like Jesus is greater in their hearts, homes, and cities. And it's written like that on purpose, because you cannot change people's homes. We cannot change our city if we don't change people's hearts first. That's where it begins. And the way that our hearts will be changed and transformed is in the Word of God, submitting to it, walking in it. So how do we get the Word of God to be our greatest source of life? We read it. Plain and simple. One of the things that we do, if you walk by it and not grab one, I think there's 8 on the table and we have more, and I will buy. It will be the greatest money that this church spends in our history, is putting the Word of God in the hands of people. And so on the table, guest services table, on your way in or your way out, there is what we call 1-year Bible. So a lot of us are reading through the Bible in a year, and if all it is if you open up to today's date, you're going to have some Chronicles, you're going to have some Acts, and you're going to have some Psalms and Proverbs. And if you read every day during the year, you will read the Bible in 1 year. Not that you have to do that, but we want to do anything in our power to put the Word in your hand so that you have a reading. And I'm just going to tell you, if you don't have a plan for reading, it won't happen. Because if you have things going on in your life, it's real easy to let that thing be something that you do last, or that thing be something that gets forgotten about because everything else is screaming for your attention. So you have to read it. And one of the things that you do when you read it, and here's the danger, sometimes you'll hear me say, read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you check a box. And you were like, well, I read. And it's real easy to read through it and be like, and especially for those, anybody, let's just be real honest on Chronicles right now. There's lots of names in there. And you've heard me pronounce Old Testament names before. So it's it's names. But there is something that we should be looking at when we're reading the Bible. And so here's just one. And there's lots of ways that we can look at the Bible. One, you may have heard as you read, SOAP. Have you heard the term SOAP? So scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Like when you're looking at scripture, reading scripture, you read through the verses, and then you observe what's going on. Who, what, when, where, asking questions of the text. Why is this important? We shouldn't just skim through it and go, like, what just happened? So we could say we read it. We should be going, what is going on? And then we look for application. What is the Bible today telling me? And if you're reading through Acts right now, you're seeing a man that's willing to go to his death for the proclamation of the gospel, which is Paul. And he has just appealed to Caesar and is heading to he's heading to the end of his life because of what God called him to preach to the Gentiles. And then we pray. We thank God for what he has shown us and for his empowerment as we seek to live faithfully in the light of what we've discovered in this time. And so we should almost read the Bible with an open notebook. And if you don't have a notebook when you read, you know, no guilt on that. Sometimes you've just got to read, and sometimes you've just got to listen. But sometimes we need to sit down before it and go, what is happening today? What do I need to do with what I'm reading? Two, we need to live it. One of the things, and I think you said this earlier, James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. One of the most dangerous things that we can do as we engage with the Bible is just to read it and not do anything. I think one of the reasons why people don't like Christians is because we speak but don't do the things that we speak. So we have to live it. Another thing for my guys in my group, memorizing scripture. We should be people to not just, we should be, and I should make them all stand up. It's early. But one of them, Matthew 12, 33, if I remember correctly, and this is not on my piece of paper, so I'm going on a limb. Oh my gosh, this is what I'm getting in trouble. Either the tree is good and produces good fruit, or either the tree is bad and produces bad fruit, and then we as trees are known by our fruit. That's our reality. You are known not by what you say or declare or bumper sticker your car with or post on Facebook or Instagram. You are known by what you do. So you have to live it. You have to memorize it. Here's another one in Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. We should share it. When it works for you, you talk about it. When the Bible impacts your life, you talk about it. There are things going on right now that you're enjoying, that's working. One of the reasons why people are tired of me talking about F3 and 75 hard and streaks and all these things, because it's something that I did that benefited me. If the scripture benefits us, we'll talk about it. And when we talk about it, God gets heard, so we should say it. We should pray it. There is no more powerful prayer that we can do than praying the Word of God. And we should invite it. I encourage you, as you open your Bibles in the days and weeks to come, is to ask the Holy Spirit, which is also mentioned in this section of John, is that God's going to give us the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. We should be asking as we're opening the Word for God's understanding of what's going on, to invite him to just transform us in the Word. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. And this is what I want to do. And I told you at the beginning, you're hopefully in this room because you want something to do with God. And I want to be the person to tell you that if you want something to do with God, showing up to church is great, but you got to get in his word. And so my encouragement and where I'm going to pray for you today is that you don't just leave here with going, yes, I should. Like tomorrow I'm going to, but make a plan. Make a plan. Maybe it means on the way out today you grab one of those one-year Bibles and tomorrow on the 8th of June you open up to that date and just start reading. You don't have to start at the beginning. You can just start reading with us today. A lot of what we preach here on Sunday mornings is out of what you read during the week out of those sections. And so my encouragement to you today is to begin to trust the thing that you say that you love by being in it. Let's pray. Lord, your church will never be united under the one thing if we don't fall in love with your word. And so, Lord, this morning, right now, I just pray that you would stir our affections to you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as people in faith open their Bibles this week, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would do this Hebrews 4, Lord, that you would divide us, Lord. You would get us to the quick with your word so that we could see the transforming power of your word. Lord, help us begin to trust and believe that these are your truths for your children. Lord, I pray that you would help us see the importance of memorizing your word so that we, in times of trials and times of tribulations, we would have your word to stand on. And so, Lord, right now, I just want to say yes to the gospel that you have preached to us. Lord, I thank you that you sent your son to do what we were incapable of doing. That, Lord, I pray that now that you invite us through your son into the divine nature of what you're doing in this world. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this room that you're not in the place that you need to be. And, Lord, I pray that you would be the loving Father asking your children to come home to you. And so, Lord, if there's anyone in this room right now that's just like, they feel lost without you, they would love to have a truth that they could stand on, but, like, Lord, they have to have you to stand on that truth. So, Lord, I pray that you would call people into that relational commitment with you. Lord, you loved your children so much that you sent your son to do what they couldn't do, to live that sinless, perfect life and willingly go to the cross to finally pay for our sin. And, Lord, I pray that we all in this room would trust in that work. Lord, that we wouldn't strive to earn your love or your affections, but we would see your love for us on the cross and submit to you to lead us, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that you do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. So, Lord, as we worship you right now, Lord, change us and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.